I'll be reading in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, if you have your Bibles. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30 will stand for the reading of the Word of God. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace. Father, we love you. We're thankful for the privilege that we have this morning to worship God in spirit and in truth, to feel your presence, to acknowledge your sacrifice, and give you glory for the suffering that you endured for us. I pray that you'd help us this morning as we break the bread of life. I ask you to touch hearts and lives here. Don't let us remain the same. Speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. My text has to do with the children of Israel encamped across Jordan. Right across Jordan is the city of Jericho. And that land across Jordan has been promised to the children of Israel. God promised it to Abraham and to his seed. But in order for them to possess that land, they must fight for it. And so Joshua, Moses' successor, is Israel's leader at this time. And in preparation for the invasion into Canaan, he sends spies to Jericho. And they find lodging at a harlot's house by the name of Rahab. They go there not for immoral purposes, but to avoid suspicion. She is a harlot, but her house also serves perhaps as a hotel in that day. And this woman is probably very typical of her society, a typical representation of her society, a very immoral woman who does not consider herself to be immoral. The worship of the heathens involved immorality. So she probably did not consider what she was doing to be immoral. When people lose the knowledge of God, they lose their knowledge of morality. And so they think what is good is bad, what is bad is good, because they've lost the knowledge of a holy God and the knowledge of his word. And that's exactly where we are in our society today. We have lost the knowledge of God, so we've lost the knowledge of good and evil. We do not know what is evil anymore. And it's amazing. Our young people are living in such darkness, because now then there are several generations who are in this country who have never been taught the Word of God, who do not know who God is, what God expects, and how God has arranged to save our souls, and even what he's come to save us from. We live in an age of deep darkness. And this woman was raised in this society, lived in a heathen society, practiced her way of living without considering that her way of living was a wrong way to live. She did not know God. These spies that would come in and went to her house were detected by some alert person and reported to the king. When he sent for the spies, Rahab hid them on the roof of her house and sidetracked the pursuers, told them that these men had come, but they had left, and that if they pursued after them, they could catch them. So they did. They went after them, could not find them. It was a dangerous deed that she did in hiding these men from the king. It really placed her in a position to being accused of being a traitor to her people. It could have cost her her life. But there was a reason why This woman was willing to endanger her life in order to protect these spies. This woman realized that she was living in a society that had run out of time. The Bible tells us in the book of Joshua, chapter 2, she said to the men, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water, the Red Sea, for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." This woman was convinced that she lived in a society that had run out of time, and that there was judgment hovering on the horizon for her society. And I believe, brother, that you and I live in a society that is rapidly running out of time. And I wish that everybody in this place could realize that and make preparations for what's ahead of us, and realize that we are living in a society that has rejected the word of God. And I'm telling you, brother, that we are indebted to God, and more so than most people, because we've been enlightened more than most people. We've had greater light. We've had the gospel message preached for generations. We've had Bibles in our homes. We could read the Bible. We had access to this knowledge of God and to the knowledge of the truth. And when you've rejected light so brilliant, so bright, then it makes us more responsible and under greater judgment than somebody that never knew the name of Jesus, never had a church to go to, never had a Bible to read. We are more responsible because we have more light than most people. And we are living in a generation and in a society that is running out of time. I don't have time to go into all the prophetic things this morning, but I want you to understand, brother and sister, if God will allow you to see this morning where we are on God's timetable, I believe you will realize that we are living in a society that's running out of time. This woman was motivated because she recognized that she was in a society that was running out of time. You know, Sodom prospered while she ran out of time. She was eating and drinking, building and buying and selling and prospering while she ran out of time. And it seems like that sometimes, just because our bank account is full, our cupboards are full, we're not hungry, we have plenty to eat and plenty to wear, that we think everything is just right. But brother, Sodom ran out of time while they prospered. And you and I are prospering in a prosperous society, and it's difficult sometimes for us to get a hold of the fact that we're running out of time when our cupboards are full, our bank accounts are full, and we don't realize that the judgments of God are looming on the horizon. This woman perceived not only that her society was running out of time, but she perceived that Israel's God was the true God. She said in verse 11 of Joshua chapter 2, she said, "For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." She understood that Israel's God was the true and the living God. She let the spies down by this scarlet cord over the city walls. And before they parted, the spies promised to spare her and whoever she could get in her house if she would tie that scarlet cord in the window of her house. And that cord was the cord that saved the spies. She let them down over the wall with that cord. But that cord would spare her, her family, anybody she could get in her house would be spared by that scarlet cord. There's a significance to that scarlet cord. hanging out the window of her house. That scarlet cord represents in type the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And her house represents the church of Jesus Christ, in which every born-again believer is baptized by the Spirit into that one body, the church of Jesus Christ. This scarlet cord runs throughout the scriptures. It begins in the book of Genesis, in chapter 3, in verse 21, when the Bible says, after Adam and Eve sinned, that God made coats of skins and clothed them. Blood began to be shed because of man's sin. And the Bible tells us just after that, in Genesis chapter 4, and verse 4, that Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Abel made an offering, a blood offering to the Lord. And then we read in the book of Exodus where the children of Israel were saved by the blood of a lamb that was put on the doorpost of their houses. And their firstborn was spared because of the blood of that lamb. We read where God instituted a day of atonement for the children of Israel, in which Aaron the high priest would go once a year into the holiest of holies, bearing the blood of the bullock and the blood of the goat, making a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the whole nation. And the Bible tells us that in the New Testament, there is blood shed as well, that Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for us. John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He's the Lamb of God because he became the sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. He takes away the sin of the whole world. We read in Revelation chapter 1, unto him that loved us and gave himself for us and washed us in his own blood. This scarlet cord goes throughout the Bible, brother. It is representative and typical of the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This scarlet cord distinguished Rahab's house. It was the only house with a scarlet cord. There's no confusion. There's only one house with a scarlet cord hanging out the window. Now, I want you to understand, brother, there's only one church. It's not a Baptist church. It's not a Pentecostal church. It's not a holiness church. It is the church of God. It is the church of Jesus Christ. There's only one church, and that church is the blood-bought people of God who received the blood of Jesus as on their soul as a covering for their sin. There's only one body, the body of Jesus Christ, the church of Jesus Christ. There's only one house with the scarlet cord hanging out the window. We may boast of who we are, our denominations and our fellowships and so forth, but I'm telling you, brother, all that matters is if you're in this one house that has the scarlet cord hanging out of it. And not only did this scarlet cord distinguish her house, it identified her with the true God. That cord was representing the fact that she repudiated her former worship and had now turned to the true and living God. It reminds me of Ruth. You know, when she was following Naomi back home, and she said to Naomi, where you live, I live. Where you die, I'll die. Your God will be my God. This was a heathen woman, but she realized through the influence of her dead husband and the influence of her mother-in-law that there was a true and living God. And she said, your God will be my God. That was the kind of decision that this woman made. This scarlet cord was represented the fact that she repudiated her former worship and had turned to the true and the living God. It identified her with the people of God. Now then, her loyalty was not with the heathens. Her loyalty was with the people of God. It identified her with the people of God. She had turned her back on that society, that heathen society. and had turned her face toward the people of God, and she now identified with the true worshipers of God. That was this card identified her with a new group of people. And brother, I'm telling you, when you get saved and when you turn away from sin, when you get born again to the Spirit of God, it puts you in a brand new group of people. I really don't understand people that walk away from the people of God and think that out there in the world, and that heathen world, that there's a better group of people than the people of God who love with unconditional love and who care about your soul. And I'm telling you this, I've told you many times before, there's only one group of people that care about whether you go to heaven or hell. And that's the people of God. You may go out there in the world and find you some friends, but there's nobody out there could care less whether you go to heaven or hell. But it's the people in the house of God who love you and love your soul and care whether or not you go to heaven or hell. Stay with the people of God, young people. Stay with the people of God. This woman identified with the people of God. That scarlet cord secured deliverance for everybody in her house. While judgment is tarrying, this woman is evangelizing. She's going around to her family members and friends, no doubt, and warning them judgment is ahead. But there is an avenue of escape. Woo, hallelujah. Praise God. There is an avenue of escape. If you will come to my house, there's a scarlet cord hanging out the window, and everybody in my house is going to be saved. And you know, the Bible tells us that the Lord warned them and said through these spies, if anybody goes out of that house, their blood's on their own head. But as long as they're in that house, they're safe from the judgment of God. She went out and gathered her father, her mother, her kinfolks. She went and warned them. She testified to them. She evangelized while judgment was tearing. And brother, when judgment fell and the children of Israel came in and took Jericho, she had a full house, praise God. I tell you what, I wish that God would help us as the people of God, that while judgment is tearing, we'd be evangelizing and warning people that judgment's on the way. But there is a safe place, and there is an ark you can get in, and there is a house with a scarlet cord hanging out the window. There is a safe place in Jesus, and you don't have to suffer the wrath of God. You can be safe from the judgment of God if you'll get in the house. Yeah. The only way to get in the house is through the blood of Jesus, through the sacrifice of the Son of God. And I want to tell you something, brother. Nobody ever went to hell trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ. You cannot perish holding on to nail-scarred hands. You cannot go to hell when you're holding on to faith in Jesus Christ. You cannot perish. The devil will try to lie to you and make you think that he can destroy you eternally, even while you're believing and trusting in Jesus. Don't believe the lie of the devil. Anybody in that house didn't have to worry about being destroyed, brother. As long as they're in the house with that scarlet cord hanging out the window, they're safe. You hear me? I said they're safe. And as long as you're trusting in Jesus, you got your hand in a nail-scarred hand, you cannot perish as long as you're trusting with all of your heart in the Son of God who loved you and gave his life for you on the cross. And I'll tell you something else. You cannot be saved outside of the house. You cannot be lost in the house, but you cannot be saved outside the house. You cannot be saved if you're not trusting wholeheartedly in the blood of Jesus, in the sacrifice of the Son of God. Setting aside the sufferings of Jesus is the ultimate sin, brother. You cannot be saved outside the house. You've got to trust in the blood that was spilled for you, was shed for you on the cross of Calvary. You must trust in the blood or be lost. You cannot be saved outside the house. This secured deliverance for everybody. This scarlet cord secured deliverance for everybody in the house. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. Did you get this? The reason that people were outside the house is they believed not. This is the problem. They believed not. So they didn't get in the house. They perished because they believed not. But Rahab perished not with them that believed not. She believed, she trusted, and she did not perish, and nobody in her house perished as well. But you know, not only did God spare this woman, but he gave this woman a beautiful life. There's another place that she's mentioned in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 1 in verse 5. She's mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus. It reads, "And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab," or Rahab, "and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David, and on down the line, David begat Jesus." Jesus came through the lineage of this woman, Rahab. Isn't that wonderful? That God took this heathen woman who was raised, look at the kind of life she's living before she came to faith. Brother Salmon picked her out and married her because she's no longer looking for a one-night stand. He saw a cleansed woman. He saw a purified woman. He saw a woman who had changed sides. He saw a woman who her past was gone. The old woman was dead. Sometimes we talk about the old man being dead. Maybe it's the old woman that's dead. And now then, she's a brand new woman. Praise God. I told you perhaps last Sunday about being at Brother Alton's celebration for his retirement and 65th birthday. And Kyle sang that song, "The Old Man Is Dead." I just wept and cried thinking about how Brother Alton, lived such a wicked life before he came to Christ, and how God changed his life. And the old man, I didn't know that old man. I only know the new man. And brother, it's that way when God saves us. The old man passes away. There's a brand new person now. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. This woman was a brand new woman. Salmon picked her out. Married her. She became an ancestress to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. She became part of the family of Jesus. You know, you can become part of the family of Jesus too. No matter where you come from, what you've done, how dirty your deeds, how deep you've gone in sin, you too can be part of the family of Jesus if you will believe like this woman believed and trust in the blood of Jesus Christ and let that scarlet cord hang out of your heart. There'll be a day you'll be glad when the judgments of God are fallen, the wrath of God has come, and you are protected by the scarlet cord. I want us to stand together while Sister Judy and Sister Olivia come. Y'all read a story years ago about a man that was killed in the Vietnam War. He was a young lieutenant in the army, and they were in a battle, and it was a hot battle, and this young lieutenant was able to get all of his men to safety except for one. There was a soldier out on the field, badly wounded, calling for help. This young lieutenant crawled out of his trench, got to that wounded man, pulled him to safety, but he died from a mortal wound in the process. So several months later, the man that had been rescued returned to the States. And the dead hero's parents heard about him being back home. And they invited him to come to their house for dinner. They wanted to meet the man that lived because their son died. And when he got there, when this soldier got there, he was drunk, loud, obnoxious, rude, telling off-color jokes, using profanity. The parents of the dead soldier could hardly wait to show him the door and send him on his way. And after that ordeal, the wife collapsed into tears and said, "To think that our precious son had to die for somebody like that." It just didn't seem right that her son had to die for somebody like that. Rembrandt depicted Christ on the cross with a mob surrounding him. But in the shadows, at the edge of that scene, stands a man. It's Rembrandt. Because we were all guilty of the blood of Christ. And Jesus shed his blood, the pure, innocent Lamb of God shed his blood for dirty sinners, just like me and you. And it didn't seem right to this woman, this mother, that my son had to die for somebody like that. But Jesus died for somebody like that, including me and you. All had sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Jesus, the innocent, blameless Son of God, died for people just like you and me. And that scarlet cord, praise God, woo, hallelujah, that blood that Jesus shed is the only safety you've got at the judgment bar of God. Not your family name, not your perfect attendance certificates, not your good deeds. The only security you've got at the judgment bar of God is this blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. It must be applied to your heart. It must be on the doorpost of your heart. It's your only protection from the wrath of God. While they sing, we're going to open the altar for anybody here this morning who would like to give their heart to Jesus.
When I see the blood,
is there anybody in this place this morning who'd acknowledge, "I'm a sinner, I'm lost, I need a Savior, I need forgiveness"?
See the blood,
altars are open.
I will pass over you. Christ our Redeemer died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all his due. All who receive him.
Since we thanked God for Calvary? How long has it been since we thanked God for the blood? Our only hope in the judgment of God.
Yes.
How long has it been since we blessed that wonderful name that loved us so good that He shed His blood so we could be free from condemnation, from the wrath of God? I tell you what, let's just take a moment here and give glory to God. And honor to the name of Jesus, because Jesus loved us enough to shed His blood that we could be saved. Father, we love You this morning. We are glad, so glad, Jesus, that You cared that much for us. Thank You, Lord, for the blood that covers our sins, washes us whiter than snow. Thank You this morning, God, that You have given to us the opportunity to know the name of Jesus, to be acquainted personally with the Savior, to have the blood of Christ applied to our hearts, to be born again of Your Spirit. Lord, I pray that every soul in this place would appreciate the blood of Christ, believe and trust in Jesus with all their heart, receive forgiveness of their sins, commit themselves to the Savior that loved them that good. Help us to love You back, Lord. We love You because You first loved us. May Your name be glorified and honored and praised in us, through us, Lord, both in time and eternity. I pray, God, we'd never be ashamed of the name of Jesus, the One who loved us that good. Lord, we're trusting in the blood, trusting in the sacrifice of Jesus, thanking You, Lord, praising You this morning, God. Lord, don't let us ever lose sight of Calvary. Don't ever let us lose sight of the benefits of the blood of Jesus. And I pray that everyone in this place, Lord, when life is over with, will stand covered by the blood. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen.